sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. I want to invite you to call me at any time at my office, and that number is 722-3232. We have a first-time radio guest on with us this morning, and that is Laura from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank
you. Well, you're doing fine so far.
Thank you.
Tell us your position. You work with SWBC Mortgage.
I do. And so at SWBC Mortgage, I'm a senior loan processor. I've been in mortgage for about 8 years now in processing.
Were you with another company before SWBC, or did you start there?
I was. I've worked with a few different mortgage companies prior to, but I've been with SWBC for about 3 years, a little over 3 years now.
Okay. Have you been on Dean's team the whole time?
I have.
Okay. Well, we love Dean Riddell.
Thank you. He's amazing.
I know. And he, you know what I love about Dean? I can text him at any time, and he answers my question.
He does. At all hours of the night, we have customers that we have closed multiple loans for, their families for, friends, and that's the number one thing that they always come back and say is how incredibly responsive Dean is, that he's available at all hours of the day. You know, even at 11 o'clock at night, he will text you back. Phenomenal. You just don't find that everywhere.
I don't think I do that. I don't think I do 11 at night, but I've been known to go few minutes after nine and very early sometimes.
Yes.
Needing an answer to a question, because I just want to be sure that I know most of the mortgage rules. I've been doing it for a long time. Back in the day, we had to qualify our own folks.
Wow.
And we went to the loan officer with every single client to for their loan application.
Wow.
And
a lot has changed.
It has changed, hasn't it?
Yes.
But we had our favorite person that we would go to because we knew the person, at least the people I went to, which was kind of my go-to person, was Perry Duncan.
Yes.
And Perry was with, I think, five different mortgage companies while I was kind of following him around, but he had a very long career.
He did.
And his last career was with SWBC with Dean Riddell.
Yes.
And so Dean picked up Perry's clients and picked up me and my clients and continues to help us.
Yes.
And help in the mortgage industry. Tell us what you do as a processor. What is a processor?
So a loan processor, in a nutshell, is someone that helps to create a story for the underwriter. So when I have a customer that comes in and they have completed their application, we have their disclosure packet completely done, what I do is I like to go through all of the basic items that they provide up front, bank statements, pay stubs, ID, any funds that they're going to use to close, if it's gift money, anything like that. I go through and I really analyze everything to make sure, you know, are there any open questions to any of the documents that I'm looking at? Is the underwriter going to look at this and then say, well, okay, possibly I need to have additional things to be able to clarify, make my story clear. So I'm trying to really paint a picture for my underwriter.
So there's three primary people in the loan business that you deal with. Am I right on that?
That's correct.
Loan originator, which we call the mortgage loan officer, and
yes,
they've got that ML, what's the number called?
Their NMLS number?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you know what Dean's is off the top of your head?
19633. Well, something around that number.
We will get it before the end of the show, because we'll need to give that, because that's one of your regulations.
Yes.
Is to have to do that. And every time we talk to Dean on the radio and he calls in most weeks, this week he's not going to call in because
right,
you're here. But that number is important.
Mm-hmm.
His is a very low number too, by the way.
It is very. He's been doing mortgages for 36 years, I think.
But they weren't licensed until maybe 10 or 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I forgot when they got licensed. But now mortgage loan officers, originators are licensed.
Yes.
So they had to pass this big whopper of a test. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of got rid of a lot of people that really just knew how to fill out paperwork, but
right.
really did not understand the regulations and the requirements. So the three people that we deal with are the originator, the processor, and the underwriter.
Correct.
Now, some companies have what's called a closer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have a closer?
We do have a closer.
And that closer usually is sort of after the fact?
Yes. So she's going to be the one that prepares your closing disclosure before you close.
Okay.
We have that TRID regulation that came up in October of 2015. So we now have the three-day regulatory requirement where we need to disclose your figures to you 3 days before you close. Didn't used to be like that. And so our closer is really essential. So we have a closer that's assigned to our specific branch that takes care of all of our clients for us. So we keep in very, we're dialed in with her all the time.
And the closer at your company is different than the closer at the title company.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is
so
correct.
So today we're only going to talk about the mortgage process.
Okay.
But when we start talking about closers, that might be confusing to some folks.
Sure.
Right, to know that there's two closers involved.
There are. Most people don't know that.
And closers at a title company have processors as well.
They do.
So each of us have our team, right?
Yes.
How many people are on Dean's team?
We have three people. Myself, okay. Dean, and Ashley Van Winkle.
Okay. So that's good.
Small group of people. We're very tight-knit.
Yeah.
So, you know, in conjunction with working together every day and we're all on the same goal, it's like a family, you know. So the communication levels are off the charts. I taught Ashley how to process loans. She started in mortgage, you know, of course, after living with Dean as, you know, he's her dad. So she was familiar with a lot of the terms, I think, growing up with mortgage.
So Ashley is Dean's daughter.
She is.
So, wow, how do you fit in with the family?
Like you've been there the whole time.
You know, we've got family members in our office as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think instead of people feeling like I favor a family member, the joke is, well, you're my favorite today.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did something awesome or something.
Right.
But I know that each of them will feel like they're part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are. Your work family is an important piece of who you are.
Absolutely.
So.
Dean and I have talked about that pretty extensively.
Yeah.
We all have a very close relationship, and I think that's part of what makes our team so strong is that, you know, we're so comfortable with each other. It's
there's
so much good back and forth, and mm-hmm. really wanting to be able to make – we are just always on the same team for the benefit of our customers. So if I'm not available to be there, if I have to step out for an appointment, Ashley's there to, you know, right. fill in and take – and back and forth. So,
and now other than your – core team that you have, you guys just added somebody too, didn't you?
We did, yes. We just added Samantha to our team.
Uh-huh.
She is phenomenal. So she's helping Dean with expanding our database, so how we can reach out to Perry's clientele that he had and see if we can touch some people, see if there's any services that we can provide for them.
Right. Well, she came to my office for training this last week. And I will tell you, she's a natural,
mm-hmm.
and she's very smart.
She is.
So you're really lucky to have her.
Thank you.
So so we've kind of got the team members down now. So what we need to talk about next is what each of you do and what problems you run into.
Okay.
For the client runs into problems, who do they ask to solve them?
Absolutely.
So we're going to do that right after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, and I thank you for tuning in to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. and we're talking everything to do with real estate. And one of the things that people need, sometimes they need cash, and we do love that 100% down plan in our office, but other times folks need a loan. When they need a loan, one of my favorite lenders, where my loan is from my house, when I went to borrow money on a house, it was with SWBC Mortgage. So, of course, I would say if you want to go to my favorite place, go to SWBC. I'm going to give you their phone number. It is 858-7770, 858-7770. Now, if you didn't have your crayon with you right then, and you need to make note of that, it is BeckyIvins.com. Go to, there's a tab at the top that says Becky's Favorites, and you're going to be able to see Dean's name right there with SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay. Laura is the processor in Dean Riddell's office. So what we're trying to do here is to go, well, what is the paperwork you need right up front when you make a loan? Let's just name it off.
All right. So basic items that you're going to need for your home loan transaction when you complete your application is going to be a valid ID. We always ask for 30 days pay stubs, 2 months bank statements, any retirement asset documentation of where funds to close could be coming from. So if you've got some funds invested and you're going to pull some out from retirement, please just provide all pages of the documentation. Those are some basic core items that we need so that we can analyze and make sure that we've got a full picture of your credit and asset documentation.
And liabilities.
Liabilities are pulled in when we pull your credit report. So,
do you ask for liabilities ahead of time?
We do not.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
All liabilities are pulled in with your credit report. On your credit report section, there towards the bottom, there is a credit inquiry section. So if you have gone out and have had your credit pulled, say you want to have some new furniture with Mathis Brothers, and they pull your credit, I'm going to see that you had a credit pull on there. So if you do not have a liability on your credit report at that time, that's something that I can then follow up with you once I receive your credit inquiry verification, just to see if you check that box that says, yes, I have new debt, then simply I just require you to provide me a copy of the new installment program so I can have that added to your report for our transaction.
Now, why do you need to know what people owe?
Well, it's part of our debt-to-income ratio that we use for qualifying. We want to make sure that any monthly obligations that you have are in line so that when you purchase your new home or you refinance your home, that you are able to make your payments, that we're not overextending you with too much house.
Do you want me to tell you a funny story?
Yeah, absolutely.
This week, we got an offer on a property, and we got a letter that said that they qualify. We don't believe any of them. If they have Dean Riddell's name on the bottom, we believe them. Because the thing is so many of them don't really say anything except congratulations. It looks like you might qualify for a loan, but this is not a loan commitment. And it kind of gives a disclaimer rather than saying, you would think they would say something like, we have reviewed your credit report. Mm-hmm. We have verified assets for down payment. Mm-hmm. And so long as you don't have any negative credit that crops up and the rest of your application comes back verified, then you'll qualify for the loan.
Right.
They don't all say that.
They do not, no.
But we had one that didn't say much of anything. It kind of sounded like maybe the way it was worded, like maybe they'd pulled a credit report, but it didn't say they'd even pulled a credit report and reviewed credit. Mm. And so Shelley in my office, my processor, my transaction manager, I said, well, Shelley, you've got to call and talk to the loan officer, and they can get the borrower on the other line if they want to, because the loan officer should not talk to us.
Right.
Because we're not a privy person to this, but we don't ask for anything privileged because we know better.
Right.
But I said, you got to call the loan officer and ask, have you reviewed the credit? Have you verified assets? Because they were not asking for that big of a loan compared to the purchase price. And she goes, oh, yeah. And she starts rattling off all this stuff. Oh, yeah, I even got a DTI. Their DTI is 77. And they're getting a conventional loan. And the funds are verified for closing. And I said, I waited till she finished talking. And I said, can you back that up? Did you say that they had a 77 DTI?
Red flag.
And I said, that is a red flag, Shelley. And she goes, it is? I said, think about that for a minute, because Shelley knows better.
Sure.
And she goes, oh, I just figured that was 77% loan.
Oh.
I said, well, did the loan officer say DTI? So we called, got the loan officer on a three-way conversation with us. And I said, did you say that this client had a 77 DTI? And she said, yes, they do. And she just, and I said, how can you qualify someone with a 77% debt to income ratio? And she goes, oh, I did say DTI. I meant loan to value, LTV. So she just said the wrong letters.
Sure.
And in her mind, so it was a very nicely qualified client, but the letter wasn't written well. We asked for a new letter.
Absolutely.
Because our seller is counting on the fact that this buyer's assets have been verified.
Mm-hmm.
That they're putting down over 20%.
Right.
On this property. So we want the letter to say that. The credit's been pulled and is acceptable. We want it to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And debt to income ratio. I mean, you probably do deal with that. You've been in the mortgage business a while. But when do the bells and whistles and flags start going off when the DTI, the debt to income ratio, gets to a certain point?
So typically, if you're doing a FHA-styled loan, it really used to be you could take that almost up to 50, 51% debt to income. But we've had some regulation tightening in this year, so that's come down quite a bit, too.
Well, you know, back before they did desktop underwriting,
mm-hmm.
it was 43%.
Yes.
You could owe 43% of your income toward debt.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty average. Mm-hmm. The average debt-to-income ratio that we'll have for a conventional-styled loan is around 45. That's really about where we need to be. Now, of course, you're going to have some compensating
factors. That used to be
factors.
33, by the way.
Wow.
It was 29 and 33.
Wow.
Was you could spend 29% on a house,
mm-hmm.
and 33% on all debt.
Okay.
So including your car payments and everything for a conventional loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to think, maybe it was actually less. It was probably 25 and 33.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was 29 for FHA and 43.
Mm-hmm.
So debt to income, mm-hmm. that's how much debt you owe, not your bills, your
right.
like your utility bill, your telephone bill,
correct.
Your insurance, that kind of thing.
Installment.
Installment debt divided by
your income.
Your income.
Yes.
And you calculate that on a monthly.
We do.
Even if you get paid by the hour.
Correct. It's all calculated by monthly.
So you calculate how many hours there are in a year, divide it by 12 months in a year, and calculate it out like that.
Correct.
And you don't make any exceptions for the month that has Halloween in it with 31 days and the month that has 28 days in it.
Right.
It's just by the month.
It is.
Okay. Well, we are talking with Laura from SWBC Mortgage. She is the loan processor for Dean Riddell. And we've got more to talk to her about right after this news break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back. This is Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team and broker of Movers Real Estate Company. And this is Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to do the smallest of repairs or to replace your whole roof. They are competitively priced, and they know how to work with an insurance company. Larry Robbins is going out this week to meet with an insurance adjuster for me on one of my rental properties. My insurance company said, "No way, Jose. There's no roof damage here." But I know there is, because I had a rep from Robbins already out there. So Larry's going to go out and meet them and show them where the damage is, take pictures, turn it in. Contact him, because he'll take just as good a care of you. And it is 728-3700, 728-3700. Robbins Roofing. We are here with Laura, processor for Dean Riddell Real Mortgage Team from SWBC Mortgage. Dean Riddell's MNLS number, did I do it right?
NMLS.
Yeah. Is 196895. Okay, we met a regulation, Laura. We're good. You guys all have right. to meet regulations all the time.
Yes.
Our word of the day is underwriter.
Correct.
Underwriter. Well, in real estate, there's underwriters for insurance. There's underwriters for different things. Underwriter in real estate has to do with the loan process. And the underwriter is the person who scrutinizes the documentation to determine how much risk the lender is willing to accept.
Absolutely correct.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, underwriter. You prepare things for the underwriter.
I sure do. That is the primary job that I have with being a processor, is I try to create a clear picture for my underwriter of our borrower's credit profile, make sure that they have all the documentation provided for the underwriter to review so that we can get that clear to close.
So you have the list up front of things they need.
We do.
And you give it to the borrower.
We do.
And the borrower provides you every single document you've asked for.
Yes.
It goes to the underwriter. And then is when our clients get upset.
Yeah.
Because they come back and say, well, they want my blood type, my firstborn. They want to know which hospital I went to have our first baby. They want all this stuff from us. And I gave them everything they asked for up front.
Right.
Why is it they need more items, more documentation?
That's a great question. So the basic items that we request up front, those are basic items that we use for basic qualifying. So when you provide me copies of your pay stubs, I'm looking for things like if you have garnishments, if there's any type of bonus income that we can use to help qualify you. And in addition to that, if we have asset statements, bank statements, I'm looking to see if you have large deposits on there, anything that is a non-payroll deposit, if you have cash deposits. So what our underwriter does, they look at the same kind of thing. They want to make sure that we don't have anything in the file that they don't have an answer to. So most times when the underwriter goes through the file, if you get what's called your conditional approval, that means the underwriter is conditionally approving you for approval based on the items they require. So our borrowers, a lot of times, they don't understand why they have to have additional items come in.
Do you know what I tell them?
What's that?
I go, you're bringing 3.5%. The mortgage company is bringing 96.5%.
Right.
If those tables, if that was reversed, and you were the one bringing all that money, wouldn't you want to know this person can pay you back?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, that's not too much to ask.
No, no. You know, and the thing I like to do the most with my clients is I will sit on the phone and explain all of that to them. So if we ever have a customer that comes in and, you know, is like, man, I just really feel like I've already given you everything and you're asking for more, I understand. I've been through it myself. It's just simply we want to make sure that we don't have any loose ends that are not tied up. We We want to make sure that when you are closed and your home is, you know, financed in, we've got your loan onboarded, you're ready to make your house payment, we don't have any issues making everything clear. So our underwriter is just simply, again, you know, we have investors that purchase the loan after we close. We have to make sure that your loan is closed and clear. All loose ends are tied, finished up before our investor gets it, so we don't have any hang-ups.
Well, if you have a hang-up, then that takes your capital.
It sure does.
And you're into selling loan packets.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So, okay. Well, that's a good answer.
Thank you.
How about co-borrowers?
Okay.
That's where we get the most angry people are co-borrowers.
Right.
The parent or grandparent decide to co-sign the mortgage for, say, a young kid that's in pharmacy school. And they've always made good grades, almost straight A's. They've gone through college. They've gotten admitted to pharmacy school, which is a PhD level by now.
Right.
Right? And they've been solid their whole life. They don't owe anybody anything. I haven't owed anybody anything for 20 years. And so they know they can co-sign because they've got investments that pay them money every month. They can handle it. They never expect, by the way, to ever make a payment on this mortgage.
Right.
Because they know that that kid is going to make the payment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to qualify them as though that kid's not going to ever make a payment, right?
We sure do, yeah. So the biggest thing with that is that we can't discriminate. We don't treat anyone differently. If you're coming in and you're signing on a loan note, I have to ask the same thing for you as I do every single other person. It doesn't depend on your credit score. It doesn't matter if you have a 605 or you have an 820 credit score. Everyone gets the same documentation requirement. It's for every loan. And it's simply to create a story of your credit profile, your asset history, everything that we have so that we can make sure that you're properly qualified for your loan so that you can afford to pay your home loan. Last thing that we want to do is not properly qualify you. You have too much home, your house payment's too high, and you go into foreclosure. That's not good for anyone. Simple solve, you know, right there at the front when we're qualifying you, we ask for all that documentation. It makes it really easy, clear up front. Is this going to be too much house for you? We don't want that. We want you to be in a home that you can live in and feel comfortable and be happy to go to and not be stressed out making your mortgage payment because the house is maybe just a little bit too high.
Well, and you've got to know your other items. Like we have somebody in our family that has a child that has autism, and the therapy for that child is astronomical.
I'm sure.
Even the co-payment.
Yes.
Is like over $1,000 a month. So that doesn't get counted against you on your debt to income ratio.
It does not.
But you have to be smart enough to know that you have to afford to pay that.
Absolutely.
After you make your house payment.
Right. Yeah, we don't take any kind of liability, like, you know, if your TV package is bundled in with your home phone and you're paying a $300 monthly, you know, TV bill or Cox cable or, you know, whatever, we don't count that towards your liabilities. So we only pull in things that are revolving credit, installment credit, you know, student loans, things like that.
Which are basically things you've used up but not yet paid for.
Correct.
They're not services that can be disconnected.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. No cell phone is listed on that. We don't have any kind of you know, after school activity programs that you have your kids involved with all the time that are hundreds of dollars.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, the gymnastic and dance lessons and music lessons, you just have to budget for that yourself out of the leftover money.
Right. Right. So that's why our DTI is so incredibly important. We really have to make sure that the numbers that we have are accurate, which is why, you know, all of the documentation that we request and we look through it so thoroughly is to make sure that we don't have any undocumented new debts that are not listed on the credit report, right, for that new piece of furniture that you bought it.
What does it matter
company.
If you, say, have a young couple buys a house. I'm going to tell you a few stories, and you tell me why it matters. Young couple buys a house that wants to buy a house. Contract for it. They're pregnant. And they're going in from an apartment to a home because they're going to have their first baby, which means that the husband no longer gets to ride his motorcycle because it's too risky now that he's going to be a daddy. So he sells it, deposits that money in the bank because he gets cash or gets a check. Doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not payroll money going into that bank.
Yep.
So that's a red flag for you.
It is a red flag. There's a lot of industry requirements that changed just since I've started in mortgage in 8 years. We're no longer allowed to have, you know, declared assets. So when we see any type of large cash or check deposit that's not payroll, we need to document that. So if you've sold your motorcycle, that's great.
Get a bill of sale.
Get a bill of sale.
Take a picture of the title.
Take a picture of the title. Get a bill of sale. Present that to me. I'll go online and do all the homework to be able to say, you know, you sold this motorcycle for X price. Kelley Blue Book market value is this price. We can justify that the payment that you deposited into your account is actually for a motorcycle.
I think it is incredible that you have to go to that much.
We do.
And does the Patriot Act have anything to do with that?
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about that when we return right after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins. Becky at BeckyIvins.com. Email me sometime. Call me at 722-3232. And just go to my website, BeckyIvins.com, and look up my favorites. You're going to be able to find my favorite lenders. You're going to find if you need a painter, if you need a heat and air person, if you need a fence company, if you need someone to put in new windows, they're going to be there. And it's not a very long list, I assure you. You have to earn your way onto my list. Nobody pays a penny to be on there. They would. I have people every single week, people call saying, how do I get on your list? How much does it cost? Well, it's for free. However, you have to have worked with me for a very long time. And I have to trust that you will take care of my clients and take care of the properties that belong to my clients. So we're talking to Laura with SWBC Mortgage. We're talking about what the underwriter might have and why they care if you make a big deposit into your bank. Right. Maybe you've been saving mattress money. Right. You decide you got to put it in your bank so that you can verify you have the money for your down payment. What could go wrong there?
Oh, lots of things. So first thing ever, if you have a borrower that you know is looking to buy a home before they even start looking, if you have mattress money, get that money in the bank. Get it deposited. Let's get that seasoned for 60 days. We ask for 60 days or 2 months bank statements. Let's make sure it's in there. That way when you are ready and you're under contract, maybe that won't come up, right?
And you know something? Dean Riddell is smart enough to ask them at loan application, do you have any cash deposits that you're going to be using for your closing cost or your down payment?
It's a big deal.
You need to get that in the bank.
Yes.
Where did it come from? Oh, well, I sold my guitar and I got graduation money.
And that's okay. If you do that, we can take care of that. Everything just has to be documented.
Well, and you take care of it by way of kind of like just them writing a letter of explanation sometimes if it's not a huge amount of money.
We do.
But if it's more than about $300, you've got to say why it's there.
Typically with conventional loans, if it's more than 5% of your purchase price, I have to document it if it's non-payroll.
Okay.
Okay. So if you've sold a guitar, I need a bill of sale. You know, let me know how old it was, so I can look it up and see kind of what market value would be. Same thing, if you sold a vehicle, we have people that have sold lots of farm equipment and such, things like of that nature, and that's perfectly fine. We just have to document everything. It's just all about transparency.
Right, and think about that a minute. You said 5% of purchase price, which you might mean a 0.5% of purchase price. So if it's a $100,000 house you're buying, they could deposit $5,000 in the bank without explanation?
No, I apologize. I spoke incorrectly.
Yeah, it's about a half 0.5%. A percent, I think. Right. There you go. Yeah, because we're going to have a lot of people coming and making loan applications the wrong way. Okay. Once you get it to underwriting, what's the best day ever in the mortgage industry? It's those three words that we love to hear.
Clear to close.
Clear to close. And the clear to close means you've met everything.
We've satisfied all of the underwriter requirements.
Every now and then, we had one that had a clear to close. And then we had an issue because the credit report was run again.
Oh.
And when the credit report was run again, there was a lien.
Oh, my.
Okay. Filed. And the mortgage company is allowed to run your credit report again before closing.
We do. So we do a soft pull credit. So we don't do a full.
And what's a soft pull?
A soft pull is something that it doesn't affect your credit score. It's basically to check to see if you've had any new inquiries that have come up on your credit report.
So like, have you decided to buy $6,000 of appliances to put in that new home?
Yes, absolutely. People think, oh, great, I'm almost done with my loan. They don't have to document any more assets. I'm going to go buy that fridge, the new kitchen suite deal that was on sale. That's great. Don't put it on credit. You know, don't even have them run your credit. If they run your credit, I'm going to get a flag. I'm going to see that. We do that before you close.
That's a real good way to ruin an otherwise good transaction.
It is. And I've had it happen before. People just don't know.
Do you know what we had happen? I can't remember if this was your office or not. I think it might have been.
Mm-hmm.
But the lien was against a guy and someone other than who he had put down for his wife, which was actually his real wife. The other one was common law that he made a loan application with. I know, right?
Oh, my. Okay.
Things can happen.
I think
and
I remember
Do you
that.
Know something? I don't think he was being deceitful. I just think he thought, well, I've moved on. We've been separated for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But never bothered to file that divorce thing. And then she gets a lien against her, which is against him, which would be against the property.
Sure.
So, now, what's the Patriot Act? How does that affect us?
So the Patriot Act is has a lot to do with the most important thing that we document in your file, which is your assets. We have to make sure that, A, we're not discriminating. That's a big thing. B, we check for assets for large deposits because of money laundering. So the Patriot Act, it's an anti-terrorism act. We have to make sure that your source of funds that are coming in for your funds to close are not anything that is not documented.
Yeah, you can't decide to pay $200,000 for a $60,000 house.
Correct.
To get rid of some cash, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. That's
a big one.
Big brother, always watching.
Always. In everything we do.
Right. Okay. Well, Mr. Gannon, you can get ready to play us out. We want to thank you, Laura, from SWBC Mortgage, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Boy, we learned a lot about processing of a home loan, and we want to invite you back again sometime.
It would be a pleasure.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.